just not enough. Oh, oh, man. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. You can watch today's program by going to Progressive Radio Network Facebook. We're going to talk about the best seeds in all of nature and why we should be consuming these seeds. Either you can grind them up or have them as a seed butter, like sunflower seed butter, pumpkin seed butter, tahini from sesame seeds, etc. And we're also going to look at a lot of health issues of how we can slow down and reverse the aging process. Also today, I was watching this morning a video by some Republicans talking once again, a young millennial who's popular, has a popular podcast, about why universal health care doesn't work. And he had Michael Moore's clips, and he and some buddies went to Canada to see how it works in Canada and try to mock it. I'll respond to him and to those who believe that the marketplace should dictate. And I'm going to show you how, and I'll document it today, minimally, with a universal health care, we could save $1.725 trillion a year. So they have all their metrics wrong. That'll be an important discussion, because at some point we're going to have real progressives, not the fake ones like Obama and Clinton, though I do believe Bernie Sanders truly is legitimate on him wanting universal health care, but the others didn't. In fact, they did just the opposite. In fact, I'll show you this whole idea of the nanny state not allowing you to have freedom of choice when it comes to health care. Also today, we're going to take on some issues, including the newest artificial intelligence mind-controlling our troops. This is really serious stuff. And according to Current Affairs, highly respected publication, an article about it's time for a little perspective on Russia. And I agree, because the latest information we have on Russia is that there was no proof whatsoever and has never been any proof that the Russians hacked the Democratic National Committee, gave all those tens of thousands of emails, mainly embarrassing John Podesta, who was running Hillary's presidential campaign, that all this is made up in order to destroy Trump. Okay, so you want to destroy Trump. You don't like Trump. That's your business. I don't like Trump. A lot of people don't. But the last time I looked, the people spoke. If you didn't like what they chose, then why don't you take an honest look at what promises you made you didn't deliver and see how many of those who voted for Trump did so out of frustration and anger and rage because they've been manipulated and lied to so often by those of you who were so concerned about their needs. So we're going to deal with that and put this whole nonsense about Russia representing a threat to America in proper perspective. The real threat is NATO. That's a threat. The real threat are the neocons. And by the way, a neocon can be both conservative and liberal in their perspective. It's irrelevant. They're going to find a way of justifying war and conflict because they're all tied into either an ideological or a political or a financial association with those that profit from war. So we'll deal with that. Also, your body's real age. I was just calling my high school today to find out when my reunion is. I intend to attend it. I'd like to see the people. It's been a long time. And part of it is to see what's changed in their life as they've evolved through different decades, how do they see the world today? How do they see themselves? How much control have they exercised over their own aging process? Are they filled with happiness at this point in their life? Or are they suffering from diseases that could be prevented or even reversed? Do they have the will, the desire to try to change that? It'll be interesting. But I'm quite sure that one question that's going to be raised is, why don't you look like us? I'm sure many of you have had this occur where you just don't look the same age. And that's because you're not. You are the age of your DNA. And the DNA is not fixed. We can alter DNA. We can grow new brain cells. We can grow new heart cells. We can grow new liver cells. Yeah, and we're growing new skin cells all the time. So if you imagine a underwear, and the longer you wear it, the more you wash it, the elastic band that holds it together so you have a tightness, it begins to become loosened. And in time, well, it begins to fall down because you can't. The elastin's gone. The same is true for the collagen in your face. Now, if you're watching this right now, I'm showing you that from the side of the ear, where the earlobe is, and if you come right across your cheeks and right in here, this whole area is held together with a band of muscles. Now, this muscle here, over time, without proper vitamin C, about 5 to 10,000 milligrams a day, and quercetin, Q-U-E-R-E-C-T-I-N, which is a phenomenal bioflavonoid, it works in association with vitamin C, it grows new collagen in this area, which means that not only this band of this musculature that goes from the corner of the nose up around the cheekbones and over the ear, that holds this whole part of your face up. So as it becomes weakened, alcohol, sugar, the common American diet, oxidative stress weakens it. It sags, just like your underwear, and overused. And then the skin follows, and you get that jowliness, that all those multiple necks. You can reverse that. You can prevent that. I remember once I was asked, would I do a program about creating a diet for the school children of Harlem? And the person who had the political clout to see that that gets done was the famous actress Gloria Swanson. She was one of the founders of Hollywood, in fact, with Charlie Chaplin, D.W. Griffin, Mary Pickford, and Douglas Fairbanks Sr., they founded United Artists, which was one of the original studios. And she was an extraordinarily healthy person. She said she had been healthier had she begun her health earlier in life, but she had a man who was her mentor in health called Gaylord Houser. He was very well known in Hollywood. He was one of these dandies. He was a person of unique charm to the Hollywood establishment. Even Hedy Lamarr, who was a close friend of mine, said that she saw him. A lot of people saw him. If you wanted to be interested in health, but there wasn't a whole lot. They didn't have all the vitamins back then. They did have juicing, and they did have a lot of things, and that was because of a man named Bernard McFadden, who was a very strong believer in physical, they call it physical hygiene, keeping yourself strong and healthy, but also a man named Dr. Kellogg. And he was one of the brothers that formed the trio that Battle Creek Mission and the Kellogg Cereal Company. You talk about progressive with his health. He was. He would have people doing colonics and eating raw foods and juicing. They had presses back then, hydraulic presses. And he was giving people fermented foods because he knew it was good for their gut health. He didn't know about probiotics. It wasn't discovered then. But he was giving it to them in the 1800s. And he had people outside in bad weather because he believed it stimulated their immune system. He was actually right. He had people doing de-stressing exercises. Mind you, this is in the 1800s. There are people who can't get this together today, and he had it together then. So there are different people who came along, who took the previous person's work and added to it or furthered it, except when it came to about the 1950s. And the health movement in America took a, well, it kind of died. So being integrative health simply stopped existing. There were a few holdovers. Pavlo Iorla, wonderful human being. I had a chance when I was very young to meet him. In fact, it was kind of a fun story. He lived out in Phoenix area in Arizona, and there was another man out there named Dr. Walker, and he was very famous for being this old herbalist. And the two of them together would hold workshops, small workshops. So I went out to Phoenix to do this lecture. I had this monster best-selling crossover book called The Complete Handbook of Nutrition. Maybe some of you might have read it or still have it. And I went into the wrong door. I went into the back door. No one told me. I hadn't been there. And I'd never been to Phoenix before. And it was a boiling hot day. And so a guy took me and said, there's the center. You go in the center. You go in that door. So I went in the back door. And I look around. I don't see anyone. And then I walk down this aisle. And I hear some people in a room. And I look in. There's about 12 people in the room. So I'm thinking, okay, that's the people come from my lecture. So I go in this room, true story, and I sit down, and I say, well, there's not a whole lot of us, so why don't we make a circle? They're looking at me, so I get up, and I put the chairs in a circle, and I said, I'm happy to be here, and I'll be answering any of your health questions, and they're looking at me. And so then one of them begins to speak, and they're speaking Spanish, saying, holy crap. I said, do any of you speak English? And they're looking, no. I think, well, what am I going to do for the next 2 hours? This is going to be a little rough. So I'm one of the persons could speak a little English, so I'm talking with her, and what would they like to know, and I'll address their needs. And this went on for 20 minutes. And then suddenly this guy shows up, and he's all frantic, and he said, Gary. I said, yeah. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing my lecture. He says, no, you're in the wrong end. This is the service entrance. These people work here. I didn't know. So I walked in, and we opened this door, and there's this huge auditorium. I mean, it's huge. It's like a civic center. And it's packed, standing room only, thousands of people. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm late. But Pavlo Iorla and Dr. Walker and other local famous nutritionists who happen to live in the area were all there, and they took over, and they were doing all this conversation. You know, they were talking with the audience, and it was fun. And afterwards, I went out to dinner and had a long talk with them. And I said, I told them this story, and you might find it of interest. I got a call from a man named Clinton Miller, who was the head of the National Health Federation. And he was a real gentleman and a nice man. And he was older. And mind you, I'm in my young 20s. And he said, we need someone young in the health movement. There is no one. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I say there's no one, I mean not a single person. And you're young, and you're appearing on all television shows, Johnny Carson, Merv Griffin, Today Show, Mike Douglas, etc. And you've got a young audience. And we need someone to come to the National Health Federation's annual convention and speak for the younger people. Okay. So I went. It was not long after that. And this was the who's who of the entire health movement in America. Carlton Fredericks was there, and Lelor Cardell, and Bettina Morales, all the most respected names in the world of health. And when I walked in the green room where they were all sitting, first of all, the whole room was filled with cigarette smoke. Most were smoking. And then they had a bar, and everybody was drinking. And they had little pig-like sausages with toothpicks in them, and everybody was eating this. So I'm thinking, am I in the right place again? Yeah, I was. And then I'm hearing doing all these deals as if it was the whole health movement had been divided into territories. Like, you can do a high-protein diet, and you do the vitamin B complex, and you... True story. So I'm thinking, wow. And so I was the last one to go up on stage, and I walked out, and every single person in the room had white hair. Just like last night, I went to a I'm so happy to be back in New York because of the culture. And there was this reading of the original 1926 or so play Chicago, from which the musical Chicago and the movie Chicago were later based. And this was the original script, and very talented actors and actresses gave what is called a reading, meaning they are sitting in seats and they get up, stand up, and they do the reading. And it goes rather quickly, and it was a lot of fun and funny. But as I'm getting up to leave, I'm just noticing every single person in that audience was older. Wasn't a young person. I'll bet there was no one in there younger than 50. I doubt younger than 60. So in any case, here I'm in a room where everyone is old, and then the audience is old, and I'm listening to them talk, and they're all hustling things. And after that, I won't mention the person's name, but a legend in health comes over smoking a cigarette, hacking, coughing, and sits there, and he's eating these little white sandwiches and puts like 3 tablespoons of white sugar in coffee and drinking it. And then he says, "Kid, you follow the rules, you'll have your own territory." And I said, "Sir, this will be the last time you and anyone in this room sees me. If this is the American health movement, I want nothing to do with it." That was it. My entire career, I've had nothing to do with the health movement, ever, and I won't, because it was a fraud. The real health advocates were Bernard Jensen, and a handful of people who were legitimate. The rest of them, the ones you saw on television, forget about it. I said, "How can you talk about health and go out in front of a television camera and smoke cigarettes to the audience? What message did I give you? Where's the holistic? Forget meditation. They weren't into it. Forget any spiritual qualities. Forget exercise." No, just a little side bar that came into my mind. Anyhow, today we have to look, what is the health movement? What is health? What do we expect? What do we want? Are we going to be passive or are we going to be proactive? How much effort are we going to make? How uncomfortable are we willing to go in order to get ideal health? So our biology is working for us. So if we're 60 years old, 50 years old, 40 years old, we're actually 20 to 30 years younger at the DNA level. And at the end of the day, you live or die based upon your DNA, not your chronological age. That's irrelevant. And because we live by a group mindset, we think that, okay, it's okay to eat this or drink this or smoke that or do that because everyone else does it or doesn't do it. And that's a wrong thought. Because the science of aging today, we're learning that you should be able to live right now, as of today, 150 years in good health with no diseases. Can we reverse disease? Yes. You heard yesterday. Have you ever heard in your life, has any medical doctor, we have medical doctors who listen to this show all the time. In fact, we have medical doctors down at the last retreat who were flabbergasted. They didn't know what happened. And I don't explain to people what happens because if their mind's not ready to listen to it, how are they going to understand it? It's just going to be gibberish. But all I said was there was an exchange of energy and now you see something happening. Well, a guy goes from a terminal illness to no illness at all. COPD gone. So I challenged. I said, "Now find me another one in the scientific literature. Go on PubMed. Show me the other person. You're going to say it didn't happen? Got the medical records, got all the pulmonology reports, got everything, got the years of suffering and medications. Well, then it's not a placebo and it's not a spontaneous remission. Why are people afraid, terrified in medicine, in the so-called science of health, to know there might be another approach that is not based upon medications? We have a hard time through our religions, through our body politics, through our social conditioning, to accept legitimacy in any other dominant theory. Now, why? If you're watching right now, I'll give you a little demonstration. I've come to that point in my life where I've done enough analysis of disease and people who are sick to get some insights. And one of my insights is how I've been able to help a lot of people, including the people that you've been listening to on the radio, including one that you'll hear next Monday that's even more remarkable than the guy you just heard. And that is that every day when we wake up, our DNA are set to either be put into a healing mode where we have vitality, vitalism, or we get up and we're filled with rage, anger, disappointment, jealousy, envy, greed, need, and that DNA gets turned in the opposite direction. So our dominant energy for the day, what is manifesting through our thoughts, then takes all other energies and collapses them. So we may want to be optimistic. We may want to be healthy. We may want to have joy and good relationships and fun. But the dominant energy in our life dictates always the outcome. And the work then should be on identifying dominant energies, where they came from, how they've manifested. How do we act out? Why do we act out? Why do we drink? Why do we smoke? Why do we take drugs? Why do we abuse ourselves or others or allow abuse? All of these are part of the dominant energies programming. So it's important you learn your own programming. And no one else can do that for you. You have to do that yourself. That's a journey that is not a group effort. And that takes quiet. It takes the capacity to forgive and go to neutral and look at yourself non-judgmentally, but just go there to say, how did I end up the way I am? And then you can see these dominant energies coming into play at different times, different people, different attitudes. And then when that becomes more powerful, then your ideals are collapsed and the mind closes. And everything is simply seen as what is dominant. And that's why we're locked in. So, on upcoming programs, I'll be going into this a little further. Anyhow, that's just a thought. Now, I went back, what I try to do is help people understand how to create a new dominant energy. And if I can use my energy to help them, I do. If I can get other principles of energy transference like nature and prayer, meditation, deep relaxation, deep meditation that suddenly allows the grip of this dominant energy to be relaxed so that alternative energies can start to evolve. And as those alternative energies of hope and positive thinking and love and joy and kindness and empathy and creativity begin to emerge up from being subordinated, and when they become dominant, then the negative collapses under it, and hence the transformation, and hence the whole body energy field shifts into healing. That's just a very brief and very superficial understanding of what is deeply profound in its implications and how it actually manifests. In any case, not allowing yourself to be dominated or having dominant energy in you that is negative and manipulative and controlling should allow you to get out of the body politic of the left and right, conservative and liberal, and get into at least being independent enough so you can see, because from an independent position, you can see what you no longer want to be a part of. Now, that doesn't mean everything's wrong. In belief systems, we have constructive and destructive, positive and negative. It is parsing away those that you no longer want to give energy to and allegiance to and saving that which is good. And then building on that, where you have total control of what you're allowing into your mind, allowing into your life, and saying, I'm stopping these bad habits. I'm encouraging and creating new habits. I am what I do, so therefore my choices are very important. There's no such thing in life as a neutral choice. Every choice has an outcome, sooner or later. So let me give you some nutrition hints here that can help in some of these. This is from The Natural Blaze. And here's what The Natural Blaze says. Chia seeds, the number one seed to ever have. Why? It has 2.5 times more protein than kidney beans, 3 times the antioxidants of blueberries, 3 times more iron than spinach, 6 times more calcium than milk, 7 times more vitamin C than oranges, 8 times more omega-3 fatty acids than salmon, 10 times, that's 1,000% more fiber than rice, 1,500% more magnesium than broccoli. So that's why it's so important if you have pain in your joints and you want to lose weight and you want energy and it's gluten-free to have chia seeds. However, for most people, you have poor digestion. My suggestion is get the chia powder, meaning they've already crushed the seeds, and that way you get more. Number 2, hemp seeds. Now, hemp has all the amino acids of meat. It's terrific. And it's high protein, very high protein, strengthens your immune system. And eating hemp seeds in any form is very positive to the body. And it's nature's highest botanical source of essential fatty acids. So you want to get your hemp seed in there, and you can get it easily. And it's got a perfect 3-to-1 ratio of omega-6 linolenic acid and omega-3 linolenic acid. It's good for your heart. It's good for your immune system, and it's, again, these are all vegetable sources. And it's the richest known source of polyunsaturated essential fatty acids, very high in fibers, so it's great. Now, the number 3 seed is pomegranate seed, and they're delicious, and they're good, high in fiber, and they fight free radicals, and they're also rich in polyphenols. That's a form of antioxidant that reduces your risk of heart attacks and strokes. And they're boosting tannins and anthocyanins and oxalic acid, all of which help you. And you can eat them, so that's good. Flax seeds are right up there. Pumpkin seeds right behind them. Apricot seeds. Sesame seeds, that's tahini, that's good. Sunflower seeds, and sunflower butter is really good for you. Again, that's not butter is in dairy, it's just where they pulverize the seed. Cumin seeds, a little bitter, but that's where they get the black cumin seed oil. They press out the seeds, and that's the most powerful healing oil in the world. Grape seeds, so those are your seeds that can make a difference in your health. Now, I'm going to share some information now about why I believe that we should have universal health care. And I'm going to place the argument that it is the most beneficial for all people. Why? First, because no matter what your condition, you'd be treated and you get receive no bill. Well, then the argument is someone has to pay for it. Who's going to pay for this? It pays for itself. How so? First, we can bring it under Medicare, and part of our taxes pay for that, as it does with Medicare. Separately, you take the profit out. Now, this is the big stumbling block between those who believe in free market. Well, there is no such thing as free market. Be realistic. Where's the free market with our entertainment industry? Where's the free market with our news media? 6 major corporations control 90% of all the news media in the United States. And how much of that news media is objective and fair? I have a report here, for example, that it has been over 1 year since MSNBC did a report on what's happening to the people in Yemen. Now, Yemen is the most, right now, the most terrible place in the world for the citizens. 18 million people are starving to death. Cholera is the highest in the world. Children are dying by the thousands each week. Not a word. Like, that doesn't count. Their children don't count. Their refugees don't count. Their rights don't count. Women don't count. Well, then, I'm a little confused about the hypocrisy. If we, as progressives, are for all rights of all human beings, and we're not going to stand by and let someone in another country starve to death, Why can't we talk about it? Well, it's simple, because the military-industrial complex, his agenda is to profit off war. And with aligning ourselves with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, that's what the United States is doing. So the people are insignificant. Well, then that tells you the people in the media who are protecting those people from being exposed are complicit. The journalists at the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, CNN, they're complicit in the suffering of those people. That's why, where's the free market for information that's objective and at least tries to be objective? Doesn't exist. What about with internet? Facebook, Google, Twitter? Where is this coming from? It's coming from monopolies and trusts that take advantage of a marketplace. They have the capacity for debt loading and political control. As a result, all small ideas or people who are not financially capable of competing with them are swept aside. The banking system, the same. So every industry you look at, I'll show you monopolies controlling it. So therefore, we should take medicine and make it nonprofit. However, it wouldn't be fair to nurses or technicians or physicians to work in a system that did not understand the sacrifices, which are substantial, that they make in their medical internship and their residency and their medical school. So we, the people, would pay for their entire education. So they start with zero debt. We take away all medical malpractice suits and have universal insurance for them, in which case that takes away the need for defensive medicine. How much is that? $200 billion a year we waste, knowingly waste, because we're afraid someone's going to sue someone, so you do extra tests that are not necessary. You take away the fraud. You take away the administration fees, which is one-third, where we're spending $3.3 trillion this year on health care, and we have little good success to show. We have massive amounts of people being treated with obsolete, failed medications and therapies instead of having cutting-edge, new, and improved ways of helping the body stay healthy, prevent disease, and seek always the least toxic way of approaching it. That would save us all that money. I want to be specific. How much are we saving? Here are the numbers. And by the way, as far as Obama and all of his speeches, that he got a lot of progressives and a lot of liberals interested, universal health care is one of his. Within a year, he said, I will have universal health care bill signed. No, he didn't. He had Obamacare, and he knew that from day one. More meetings were held in secret by insurance companies at the White House with Obama and Ron Emanuel and the people running his cabinet and his White House, all with the knowledge that it was going to keep the profits privatized, but it would also mandate. Well, when you tell someone that they must take something, they must buy something, or they can be fined, where's their freedom of choice? In point of fact, Obamacare is not socialized medicine, as some people misguidedly think. It's a wrong claim. It remains free market medicine. Real socialized medicine requires tax dollars from all citizens to pay for health care. Hospitals and clinics are nonprofit. And most doctors work on what would be considered a good living wage, let's say $200,000, $300,000 a year with no medical bills. Do you realize then that doctors would not have to spend, 11 seconds before they interrupt you when you start to talk, with the average meeting being under 7 minutes? You could have quality time with a physician talking about what are needed, and you would also have all of the alternative and complementary medicine that has been shown by peer review to work offered as well. And just imagine how many bypasses we wouldn't have to do, how many antibiotic sessions we wouldn't have to do, because it wouldn't be about the hospital charging you $100 for a dollar's worth of saline solution to go in your arm. You wouldn't have to be charged money when you're completely able to get up out of your chair and walk out the hospital, be put in a wheelchair to take it out the door because they want to bill another $500. For a mother to be handed the baby so she can breastfeed him, they charge you. It's obscene what medicine has become. All that Obama knew and his cabinet knew and the Democrats knew. One more lie. Sooner or later, those lies add up. In real socialized medicine, every system is open to every citizen. And no malpractice, and you have none of those schemes, copay schemes. So here's what we had. We have, and have today, we have citizens buying private health insurance from private companies. Hospitals and clinics remain for profit and charge whatever they want. Doctors, nurses, and administrators are paid wages by private corporate entities. Citizens only have access to funds to pay for private health insurance in the free market, and healthcare costs are not lowered as what was promised, but it increased. In fact, it's increased to $2,200 a year per family, and that's a lot of money. So, where will we save the money? Oh, and by the way, in order for people with pre-existing conditions to get coverage, the younger generation has to pay much more on premiums than their fair share, and that's not fair to younger people who are stressed already with financial limitation. So, here's the dollars that you would save with universal health care. You would save, let's say, $19.5 billion spent on measurable medical errors. This is in the Journal of Healthcare Finance. $272 billion in Medicaid fraud. You also look at the amount of insurance profits, which is in the hundreds of billions of dollars a year. One company, United Health, made $47 billion in net profit, and its CEO made $20 million in compensation. That's obscene. You eliminate all that, all the paperwork gone. And you would be able to, with universal health care, you'd be able to get rid of $275 billion in wasted insurance paperwork. The billings of wasted paperwork are $471 billion that include $70 billion for physicians, $74 billion for hospitals, $94 billion for services providing health care and supplies, $198 billion for private insurers, and $35 billion for public insurance. All that would be eliminated. You would eliminate medical liability insurance. That's $55.6 billion. You would also eliminate malpractice, which is $55 billion. Drug costs. Drug costs right now, we filled 4.3 billion prescriptions at $375 billion. That could be cut by at least two-thirds and then start introducing generic drugs. It's insane to pay $10,000 for a single drug to treat cancer, knowing you got to give that drug every month. You're looking at $120,000 a year when you could get a generic drug, the same identical drug, for $10, not $10,000. Unnecessary medical testing, $200 billion. Add it all up, $1,727 billion saved, enough to create universal health care for everyone, but you got to take the profit out of the system, and the system is controlled by lobbyists, consultants, and for-profit groups. So, I have great details on all this. I'm happy to share with anyone. Now, I want to give you a recipe. Last week, I gave you a recipe. And this week, they just brought me in the recipe that you're going to see up there on the screen. Ambrosia Crunch. Okay. These are vegan recipes and easy to make. And this has got the unsalted pecans and pitted dates and tulipa honey and unsweetened pineapple and peaches and cherries and bananas with some lemon juice and coconut flakes and orange segments. And I show you how to make this. It's delicious. It's healthy. No added sugars. And every week I'm going to be sharing some different recipes with you. So you can go to Progressive Radio Network, Facebook, or PRN.FM, and you can download these recipes. They're vegan, gluten-free, healthy. Now I thought we could, and by the way, I'm going to share with you now your body's real age. This is a short 2-minute, 37-second video, But it does a good job of letting you know, pay attention to what you do because your DNA is impacted, positively or negatively, by everything you do. And while you're watching this, those of you who'd like to call in and address your concerns about our healthcare system, and if you support universal healthcare, fine. If you don't, then explain why. And 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We'll have your calls after you watch this.
How old is your body actually? After all, it's constantly being regenerated. Cells are shed and replenished. So is it always new? Or does something of your old body remain? Well, your hair obviously doesn't remain the same, and I'm not just talking about the style. Each hair on your head is replaced every 2 to 7 years. 100 hairs fall out every day, and new ones grow back in their place. And look at your fingernails. They're completely new every 6 months or so. It turns out it's just a matter of time before almost every part of your body refreshes itself in a similar way. The lining of your stomach and intestines gets pretty beat up. It's constantly exposed to acid and bile. And so those cells get replaced every few days. Every few weeks, your outer layer of skin is completely renewed. Every 4 months, you have a fresh army of red blood cells. 100 million new cells are born every minute, and 100 million old cells are destroyed. It's actually the breakdown products of these red blood cells that turn your bruises and your urine yellow. Every 10 years, you've got a new skeleton. A special team of cells breaks down old bone, and another builds new bone. Every 15 years, your muscles are refreshed. You might think you gain and lose fat cells when you gain and lose weight, but they actually just get bigger and smaller. Over the course of 25 years, though, most of them turn over. But there are a few things that stick around for your entire life. About half of your heart stays with you from birth to death because those cells are replaced very slowly. Certain parts of your brain add a few new neurons over the course of your life, the vast majority of your neurons developed before you were born. It's the connections between those neurons, the circuits that store memories, that are constantly changing. And there's one more part of you that lasts your whole life. Months before you were born, a little cluster of cells stretched and filled themselves with transparent protein. As you grew, even after birth, more and more fibers were added. But that center endured. This is your lens, the window through which you are watching this video right now, and its core has remained the same since the moment you first opened your eyes.
Good. Short video, but it lets you know that cells change, and when we were talking about the brain, we have found that there are certain nutrients that can speed up the dendrites regrowing, growing new dendrites, so you have improved your memory. Therefore, you help yourself with overcoming and preventing dementia, Alzheimer's. So there's good science to support we can rejuvenate almost every part of our body. But that takes a commitment. It takes pledging yourself that you're going to keep in a positive way and not allow old habits to become the dominant theme. Now, I'm going to go to your calls in just a moment here on health at 888-874-4888. But I just got a couple of little program announcements. I'm going to be interviewing people this week for three positions. One, people who are project managers, people who can handle multiple projects and good communicator, multitasking. Not everybody can do this. Some people become overwhelmed and therefore they lose their focus. I need someone who's got experience doing this, good paying job, because we have a lot of projects. I've got a whole lot of projects. I'm opening up the first holistic assisted living center, a small one, in the United States in the next 6 months, a veterans village to help homeless vets, all these different things, and plus lots of documentaries. So I've got about 40 different projects on the table requiring a lot of different coordination. So if you are a person that has capacity to do lots of research, lots of projects, give me a call. You'll go to prnstudio@gmail.com, give your resume. Then I'm looking for research editors, people who have experience writing and researching. And because I'm doing major projects, investigative reporting. Same thing. Go to prnstudio@gmail.com. And these are all social relevant issues. Then also, we're looking for someone who is good at helping expand our presence on the internet. We're the number one radio station, internet radio station in the world, number one radio internet program, and we're going to be going into multiple directions very shortly, bringing in a lot of millennials, having a lot of voices that are not heard in traditional radio, giving them more voices. So we need someone who's really good, who knows internet and marketing. We have all the tech people and people running the station. That's just something. Again, these are not volunteer positions. These are paying positions. You got to have experience. It's not where you're going to come and learn. You got to be learned, hit the ground running. And you go to PRN Studio. Also, in just a couple weeks, I'm going to do a road trip. And if you heard me mention about 6 months ago, I'm going to invite a limited number of people, probably no more than three, on the East Coast, to join me. I'm taking my camera crew, and we're heading off. I'm going to be doing a documentary called Friend, Can You Spare a Dime? It's based upon that old, the Depression era song about sparing a dime. Starting going down to Trent, New Jersey, Philadelphia, from there Baltimore and Washington, from there Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, finishing off in New Orleans, going to film out in the ninth quarter, how people are recovering, and going to film a lot of people, senior citizens who are struggling, young people, millennials, and this is going in a lot of different areas. There'll be about 40 different experts filmed. They will not be filmed except in Washington, D.C. There'll be some, but we're filming just people and how they're struggling today, and how they're invisible, and no one sees them. Hence, they don't have advocates. So we're going to be working with the People's Poverty Program and others. And that starts. Normally, I would just get in the van or get in the car, do the drive, do the filming, come back. But a lot of people say, we'd like to do something like that and see how you do it. Okay, for this one, I'm willing to let people come along. You pay your own expenses. We'll stay at motels at night. But the RV in the daytime, people could take turns driving and making dishes and food, because I don't eat in restaurants. I don't like anyone touching my food. I never have. I do my own dishes, period. But I want to have, the opportunity to show people also how stories evolve, how films evolve. So when you finally see it a year from now, you'll say, hey, I was there. If you want to be a part of that, you're going to be selecting. I'm not going to be selecting, people who are not happy, healthy, positive people. This is not an opportunity for you to corner me in a space and ask me 3,000 questions. That's not going to happen. Happy, healthy, positive people. You're going to be physical because we got to lift equipment in, out, set up, break down. Go take bikes, put them on the back of the RV to get some exercise. It'll be a lot of fun. You can email, it's only by emailing, about yourself. Okay? But remember, don't try to exploit that so you can get some, I thought I could, have a week, 2 weeks to pick your brain. That's not going to happen. All right? But otherwise, it's going to be fun. Now let's go over. I see that we have on the line, we have Luann with Eugene. Hi, Eugene.
Hello.
Hi, Eugene.
Hi.
Tell us, I'm sure you're calling in. I haven't spoken with you, but you have something to tell this audience to hopefully motivate them that whatever they're suffering from, there's hope.
Yes, that's my story.
Tell us your story quickly, please.
Okay. Well, so prior to attending the retreat, I was asked to speak about the retreat. I was suffering from arthritis, high blood pressure, and very bad diminishing kidney function. Nobody knew why. I had very abnormal blood values. The kidney filtration was 32%, which they said was near dialysis levels. My BUN was some measure of kidney function was at 45, which was very high. Creatinine was very elevated. And my cholesterol level before being on a statin was 250, about 250, over 250. So the retreat was just really fantastic, and it changed my entire outlook on my life and strengthened my determination to be healthy. It just really clicked in. So after the retreat, I continued to live a well-balanced lifestyle, much more mindful and much more aware of what I was doing, what I am doing. I got myself off the statin. My doctor took me off the blood pressure medicine, one blood pressure medicine drug, and decreased the dose of another by a half. And I continued to integrate everything I learned at the retreat. So I did blood level work after the retreat, and the kidney filtration rate was up to 68. The BUN was normal. The cholesterol, after the statin, I got myself up to statin. This is, my cholesterol level was 219 after the statin, but I'm sure it's going to go down more. I mean, my cholesterol level on the statins was like 100 or something. It really totally camouflaged what my problems were. And as far as the arthritis, I couldn't exercise. My hip arthritis was just really awful, and I was having a hard time exercising at all. And by the time the retreat was over, I did power walking for 3 miles, at least 3 miles. It was probably more. It was about an hour and a half of good power walking, and it really amazed me and made me really, really very hopeful. So, but I still have a lot, but I switched to using an elliptical, and I gradually increased my resistance to make sure I don't get that inflammation. It's just really working wonderfully, I guess, with everything else also. And I don't feel like I'm losing my functionality anymore. I feel like I'm not going to worry about chronic illness. I just feel great. My blood pressure on blood pressure medication was 135 or above before. My blood pressure after the retreat was basically around 120, averages 120, a lot of times 116. And I just feel terrific. I just, you know, I just feel like I can do everything. And I had this epiphany when I got home from the retreat. I realized that my life was totally organized about doing everything else. And I said, you know, I was trying to figure out how to deal with the exercise and the cooking and the shopping. And I said, I don't have time for this. And I said to myself, you know what? That's the problem. I don't have time for it. And I realized that my time was being spent totally the wrong way. And I just totally 100% switched. I said, I'm going to do everything I need to do for myself first and my work and for everybody else later. And I just changed my life, and it just feels so good to do that.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear these changes. Thank you for calling in. It's certainly inspirational because now you're not on dialysis, and your blood pressure is normal, and your cholesterol is down, and your energy is up, and you no longer have the arthritis. Have a nice day, everyone. See you tomorrow.